Aleich, and welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayigash. I'd like to start with a couple of Vayigash, the beginning of the Parsha, and then one at the end. Vayigash El of Yehuda, this pasuk is actually brought in the Taiskin, Ramah Darkei Moshe, in Hilchos Tefillos, the Mitzvadik Hei. There, the Ramah brings the name of the Sefer right there, the custom of taking three steps before one begins Shemayna Esrei. The custom of taking three steps before one ends Shemayna Esrei is mentioned in the Gemara, or in Yuma. However, the custom of taking three steps before one begins Shemayna Esrei, stepping forward, actually has no makar in the Gemara, and the Rekach brings the source of the custom. He says that we find three Hagoshais Utzila. We find three times in Tanakh, Vayigash, Vayigash Avraham, Vayigash Yehuda, Vayigash Eliyahu. And because there are three Vayigash expressions related to Tefillah, we take three steps forward before we begin Shemayna Esrei. That's what it says in the Darkei Moshe. Anybody who reads this is misspelled. What kind of Hagosha to Tefillah is Vayigash Yehuda? But Yigash Yehuda is not a Hagoshah to Tefillah. He was stepping up to Yosef, the king of Mitzrayim, to complain to him. How is this related to Tefillah? Rav Druk, in the Sefer Darash Mardechai, brings in the name of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, who explains the following idea. He says, Yehuda was sitting in a room. He was close enough to be heard by the king. He didn't have to step forward. Why did he step forward? Well, that's the human nature. Is when you step forward to address somebody, you step forward as if you're saying, I'm going from here to there. I'm moving to a new position. From that new position, I'm going to talk to you. That's the idea of the three steps in Tefillah. It's stepping into a new matzah, a new situation. And that, we learn from here. We learn from these words. That a person steps forward before Shemayna Esrei to symbolize a change in the person's perception. Symbolize a change in who the person is, what he's doing. And that is appropriate to learn from the Yigash El of Yehuda. This is Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman's explanation of this Ramah. I was thinking that something I once heard from Rabbi Victor Miller would explain this as well. Rabbi Miller explained that when a person goes to the doctor, and he says to the doctor, Doctor, please help me. Doctor, please heal me. He should be saying it to the doctor, but he should be thinking of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Doctor, please help me. He's really talking to God, not to the doctor in front of him. And I would imagine that the same thing was true about Yehuda. By Yigash El of Yehuda, Yehuda stepped forward, and he said, Di Adoni. Who is he saying, please, Adini? Ayicha Abcha Be'avdecha. He was saying it to the man in front of him. However, in his heart of hearts, he was talking to God. He was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. Do things for me. Ayicha Abcha Be'avdecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be angry with me. And the Mela, we can learn from here, Vayigash El of Yehuda, Ahalacha Tefillah. Important lesson. Now, whatever it is we say, somebody will help us in an oifen. Gashmi, we should try as best we can to be thinking of the Bariya. But this is one thought regarding Vayigash El of Yehuda, a thought that comes from Halacha. Now, let me try a thought on Vayigash El of Yehuda, which comes from the world of Dikduk. Before you hang up, it's an easy Dikduk idea, and it's a Muslim lesson that we are going to take from it. Vayigash. The shayrish of the word Vayigash is Nun Gimel Shin, Nikisha, is to step forward. That's similar to the word Neskila, fall, which when it comes in the form of Vayigash becomes Vayipoil. What is similar about these two words is that one of the words of the shayrish falls off, the Nun. Nigash, Nofal, Noga. There are words in Hebrew which have a three-letter Shirish and lose the first letter. How However, this is bound uniquely by words that begin with the letter Nun. It's not that way. Omar becomes by Yoimer. Daber becomes by Yadaber. Ochal becomes by Yoichal. All the words that go into this structure retain all the Shirish letters. When the Nun is the first Shirish letter, it falls away. Neder becomes by Yidor, Yaakov Neder, by Yidor. The Nun falls away. Nata is the plan, becomes by Yita Kerem. Nosan is to give, becomes by Yite. Nofach is the blow, becomes by Yitach Ba'apa. The Nun falls away. The Nun uniquely falls away. The Nun is also unusual in that it uniquely comes as an addition to a Shirish. You find numerous times that the Nun gets thrown in. It gets thrown in only for the Tiferes HaLashon, the beauty of the language. For example, Ish in plural, not Ishim, but Anoshim. Das in plural is not Tim, which would be an awkward word. Itois becomes Banois, and Nun gets in. What I mean to say is that there's a concept in the book of Tiferes HaLashon. Sometimes the rules are there to make the language be present to the air. The Nun uniquely falls away, as in Vayigash, not Vayingash, which would be an awkward word, or Vayinagash, which would be awkward. The Nun falls away. The Nun is added where it's needed. Chasdei Hashem ki lo istamnu. The Nun is not the Shirish. The Shirish is Tamu. But with the first Halashain, it gets thrown in. The Roim becomes Aroinim. Noshim Sitkaniyai. Where's the Nun? Sitkaniyai. The Nun uniquely gets added or gets taken away with the Tiferes HaLashon. Alright? That's a rule of thumb. What Musa could there be in there? I was learning the Pachak Yitzchak on Sukkot. In Maimer Yud Zayin, his days, he talks about the letter Nun. The examples he brings there are something you could look up. What's Nogea to me is his Yisrael. His Yisrael is that the letter Nun, Moira al Dagos. The letter Nun is a symbol of greatness. We know that the 50th shah, the 50th gate of anything, is a symbol of being complete. The word Kol is 50, is complete. The letter Nun shows Dagos. And here's the Mustang. Of all the letters of the Aleph, the letter which is willing to come or go, depending on the use, the need, the Tiferes HaLashon, the need of the sentence, the need of the word, is that letter which symbolizes greatness. Because for somebody who's great, that's willing to give of himself to go or to go away, depending on the general. According to this, we can well understand that in Parshas Bahaloispa, where we have an obligation to put a simin before and after the parsha of Ayyidus by Aharim, the letter Nun is used. As you know, there's a backwards Nun, not a straight Nun, which would be red, but a backwards Nun. And the Marshal famously asks, why are you using a Nun? However, if in fact, in the rule, the language of Bigdom, the Nun is that great letter which is going to give of itself, which is going to be there or not be there, depending on the greater need, then we understand that that letter is going to be used as a lesson again, as a lesson in greatness. So these are two very different ideas, both coming from the word Vayigash. For our third and final offering of the day, let's move to the end of the parsha, as far as the Megak is coming in. The end of the parsha is a bit confusing. We have the story, of course, of Yaakov and the Shvatim, the 17 of Asher, coming down to Mitzrayim. And in the very last section of the parasha, we have the discussion by Yava Yosef, Yagin Lepara, the Yomer, Avi Vachai, the Seinam, Upakaram, etc. The discussion of the arrival of Yaakov and his family, and the coming of the Parai, they're being sent to the land of Gaish. And all that is fine. After Shvi, we read, Yosef, Yosef, his other Nesach, Avit, Mamachuz, Avaritz, Mitzrayim, he sells them down in the land of Mitzrayim. And suddenly, the Pasuk switches focus. It goes to Yosef's discussion with the Egyptian, how he sold them food in Mitzrayim. And as Rashi says in Pasuk Yud-Gimel, that this is out of order. Because when Yaakov came, the years of hunger ended. So Rashi says, Chayzol in Yerisha, let's give Ashnei Harav, it actually goes back in time. Totally out of place. After the brothers come, we learn that Yosef is dealing with the Egyptians in selling them the food. Totally out of place. What's he doing here? Answers Rabbi Yaakov. Yosef, in all of his work, in all of his preparation, was really preparing the land of Egypt for the arrival of Klal Yisrael. That it should be as best as could be. For example, we found earlier that Yosef did population transfers. He made people move. If the Am had here in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, he made the people move from one place to another. We find that here in the last part of the parasha. Why did he do that? Rashi says it was a preparation. So when Yidden come, it shouldn't be unusual that people are out of their normal place. We learn here, Rak Admas HaKayin in Leikonah. Yosef made an exception for clergy. Clergy were exempt from the taxes, were exempt from the rules of paying for the food. Why did he do this? That's what Yaakov. Yosef wanted to do something that would be a preparation for Klal Yisrael coming. When Shevet Levi came, they fell under this law. This law which allowed those who are clergymen, those who are totally devoted to learning, to be exempt from taxes. This was Yosef's effort. It belongs there. It belongs when Klal Yisrael comes down, the story of what Yosef did to prepare for their coming. To prepare for their coming as the unheavier, and also, Rakad Masakayanim Leikonah, he made an exception for clergy. I would add that this probably, undoubtedly, the longest surviving recorded law. But in the United States, we have parsonage rule for clergymen. It's not natural that such a law should exist in this country. Not natural such a law should be unchallenged on the basis of separation of church and state. It's only the Siyata Dishmaya that came from the Hishtadlus of Yosef, which remains to this day an exemption. The Bayim and Yeshivas today are paid wages, which are, it's a crime. It's a crime. Most of all, we will look back. How did we allow Rebbeim to be paid wages, which in some families are below the poverty level? And Rebbeim are very devoted. Yosef prepared. He set up a parsonage rule, an idea, which lasts to a great degree to this day. Clergymen are not totally exempt, but had exemption. This was in the year 2238. Yosef was 3,500 years ago. And he was preparing Klal Yisrael for living in Gaul. And so, here at the end of the parasha, we have an insight into why the story is brought after Yaakov appears. Otherwise, it's not important. What Yosef did business-wise is not so relevant, it's not so important to us. But to the degree that it was meant to be a preparation, very schmuck, very difficult. With that thought, I bid everyone an absolutely wonderful Shabbos to one and all. I hope and pray that our learning should be a plus for a for Shalema, for Chaim, Moshe, Yosef, Nehemiah, and Miriam Reisel, the father of one of those Afghanim who got this bone she has spotted. I hope that the plus of the learning many of you are doing in the middle of your work day, it's a tremendous plus. It should stand in his merit. After Chaim, Moshe, Yosef, Nehemiah, and Miriam Reisel should have a for Shalema, be correct. I couldn't shout this before.